Hello everyone and welcome to today's video with James Amaya, a sports security specialist based here in Cedar Park, Texas. My name is Dr. Tim Rice and I'm bringing you another of our video series in sports marketing. James, it's great to have you here today and really looking forward to learning more about you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of where, how you got to the sports security side of things.
Sure, thank you. Dr. Rice, thank you for this opportunity. My name is James A. Amaya. I'm a retired police detective from the Nassau County Police Department on Long Island, New York. I spent 21 years in law enforcement, and I have a combined 24 years security, law enforcement, and consulting background. I have a master's degree in sport management from Adelphi University in Garden City, New York.
Okay, great. So tell us a little bit about your new business venture. You know, we're talking a little bit about sports marketing today, obviously, and kind of how what you do connects with sports marketing, but tell us a little bit about your new business, the name of it, and kind of what you're planning on doing with it.
Okay, great, thank you. I started a new consulting venture here in Austin, Texas called Unified Sports and Entertainment Security Consulting, and quite frankly, Dr. Rice, this has been kind of a work in progress for me over the past couple of years since finishing my master's degree at Adelphi. I've had the good fortune of having conversations with higher education professionals like yourself, nearly 20 plus colleges throughout the United States, trying to get the message out about the importance of sports security, and you know, in light of the current challenges that the industry is facing, I feel that my background in law enforcement provides me some good insights, some good experience to share my expertise in this area. So my goal really is to kind of you know, create really good working relationships between the research component that you're offering, again, my prior law enforcement background, and trying to just basically get everybody to speak the same language in the interest of public safety.
Okay, great. So when we talk about sports marketing and we talk about the connection between sports security and sports marketing, what do you see as the connection? What how do you see sports security helping the sports marketer?
Well, it's a terrific question, and it's really kind of been a situation that I've been striving for on a daily basis, is to make that congruence, that connectivity between the goals and objectives of marketers and the role that security personnel play in the overall operational facets of running a sporting venue. There's definitely, in light of recent challenges, we've seen what happened out in LA. With the Dodgers game, there was an adverse fan situation. Unfortunately, the advent of the Boston Marathon bombing, that was completely a game changer in terms of the role that sports security is now playing in terms of how effective security leaders can be in mitigating certain risks that are associated with operating sporting venues. And I believe that the marketers are finally starting to understand that, yes, in fact, enhanced profit margins are something that's near and dear to them, but at the end of the day, if there's any type of adverse situation, their brand could be affected as a result of that kind of scenario. So it's an ongoing thing. The training is an everyday process. I'm a firm believer in lifelong education, and again, you know, I aspire to pursue my doctorate in the near future. And I think that's where my role is to, you know, my passion for teaching and training and just getting everyone to, again, effectively speak the same language in the interest of public safety.
Okay. So you talk about the Dodger situation, and you know, when you think about how that impacted the brand of the Dodgers and perhaps how the public looked at safety in terms of going to Chavez Ravine to see a Dodger game, I mean, what are your thoughts on how that should have been handled? I mean, do you think that the Dodgers handled that well in terms of getting people to come back to the stadium?
Another very good question. It's hard to really, you know, speculate from the outside looking in, but I think one of the things that we've learned from that kind of scenario is that, you know, security managers really need to effectively utilize a strategy known as smart deployment, in basically saying that your circles go with your circles and your squares go with your squares. And the marketers are really intent on providing the best overall fan experience possible, but you really can't sacrifice safety in these initiatives. So I think Dodgers are certainly learning their lessons. What they did prior to that unfortunate situation is something hopefully that they'll they'll kind of look at their security procedures and protocols and tweak them. But the training is an ongoing process, and you know, in light of the fact that that unfortunately did happen, it's something that hopefully we all can learn from to obviously, you know, put our best interest forward to make folks safe inside a sporting patron environment.
Sure, and with regard to sports security, you know, obviously brought up the Boston Marathon bombing and that tragedy. Talk to us a little bit about how that came to be. I mean, as far as, obviously there are a lot of great technologies that were used that day, but do you think that, I mean, what led people to want to come back to the Boston Marathon the next year, you know, after what happened?
A very, very unfortunate situation, incident. Our hearts go out to the victims and the families. But one of the prevailing themes in the sports security industry is lessons learned. And Boston, like many other cities throughout the nation, Boston strong, obviously, but they united for a common cause. So obviously the way that Boston police officials looked at that situation, and again, when you look at 26.2 miles, very, very soft target, very difficult to secure. And I use the analogy all the time about, you know, being a professional baseball player. If you get up to the plate 10 times, you get 3 hits, you're a 300 hitter, you can essentially make $5 to $7 million a year. Well, no one in the sports security industry, unfortunate as it is to say, bats 1,000. Right. So what we try to do is learn our lessons, continue to train on a daily basis, look to see what people unfortunately may have done incorrectly, and improve upon that in the interest of, you know, protecting brand, saving lives, and making the guest experience as pleasurable as possible. Because that's the challenge, Dr. Rice, that the marketers are facing at this time, and that folks have so many different options, you know, whether it's internet, whether it's in-game experience, social media. They have many different impulses that are coming at them from many different directions. And the ones that have the wherewithal, disposable income, to take in these events, these are the ones that obviously the marketers have to attract on a daily basis. So that's a challenge for them. And the challenge continues, of course.
Now, you brought up social media. It brought to mind the challenges that marketers face with social media. And I thought about it in terms of the security aspect. Can you kind of talk a little bit about how social media has, well, how it's changed how security is looked at?
I think social media is instrumental within the security parameters of any type of well-running operation. I think it's incumbent upon security directors and event managers to kind of implement a social media strategy as part of their operational game plan. My experiences at the Barclays Center here in Central Texas, at the Cedar Park Center, you know, seeing different command centers throughout the United States, whether it be the home of the Indiana Pacers that I visited. I hope to get out to Santa Clara to see what the 49ers are doing in terms of technology. But, you know, having for many years, the asset protection discipline has been kind of viewed as reactionary in nature. We live in very troubling times. You know, my focus is really not to scare people, but just to enlighten them that we need to kind of look at these measures proactively. We need to educate not only our fan base in terms of what is acceptable, you know, when coming to the ballpark, but also to have that spirit of goodwill and cooperation between the venue ownership groups as well as the patrons. Everybody has a vested interest in making sure that they have a great experience, but a safe experience at the same time, and I think that's key. So I think, you know, the training and the education continues, and the research side from your end is something that I would hope that the marketers would start to not only avail themselves of it, but to actually implement the research that's out there, because it's really pertinent to kind of act upon all the training and knowledge and kind of implement that in your strategies.
Okay, and you brought up technology and, well, to brought up education. What are some areas, obviously your field of expertise in sports security has some national educational groups. Can you tell us a little bit about the ones that you're part of?
Absolutely, great question. Early March, I took the 4-hour drive up to Dallas, and I was involved with the International Association of Venue Managers, and I connected with Mark Herrera. We've become good friends. I actually connected with Mark through social media, LinkedIn. We have very similar backgrounds in law enforcement, And pretty much from that Monday morning to that Thursday evening, from start to finish, quite honestly, I felt like I was back in graduate school.
Right.
You know, to kind of walk into Larry Bowman's presentation on his experiences with the Atlanta Braves, to see an actual drone launch inside AT&T Stadium, to visit the command center for the Cowboys, to interact with law enforcement professionals, DHS, FBI, across the board from the entry-level folks in terms of the sport management majors to the upper echelons of the Department of Homeland Security, to see how everyone is committed for a common cause in the interest of public safety. That is one group that I hope to become more involved with. That was a tremendous experience. We talk about, you know, active shooter situations, workplace violence. These prevailing themes and these challenges, irregardless of the vertical that you're in, it could be event management, it could be corporate America, it could be retail loss prevention, which I recently worked in, self-defense target, of course. Learning about screening measures, ingress, egress, you know, the education just continues to go on and on and on. So that's one group that I've connected with, and I look forward to going back next year for year two. And it's funny, when you go to these conferences, you think you have a good feel on, you know, what your strengths are, and sometimes, or in many cases, you realize what your weaknesses are and how you can improve upon them. And you know, having everybody come into the room, it could be mega shelters, it could be, you know, communications with first responders, it could be effective screening measures. It's an honor for me to be labeled an expert. Quite honestly, we're all experts to a certain degree.
Sure.
We all have, obviously, gifts and talents that we want to share. So that's one group in particular. The other group is the NCS4, which is affiliated with the University of Southern Mississippi. Dr. Liu, I had the good fortune of going to Indianapolis last July and going to their national conference, where there was over 400 industry professionals with a vested interest in a safeguarding brand and patron protection. And one of the panel discussions during that conference was, they had the CEO for the Cleveland Cavaliers talk about the connectivity between the brand side of it and the mitigating patron protection, and the importance of making sure that they're intertwined. The days of reactive measures are behind us. We need to look at things from a proactive standpoint. So two great groups. In fact, just yesterday I became an official member of the NCS4, which is great.
Awesome.
And, you know, and I know for the younger college students that are listening, I definitely employ you to take advantage of, you know, all these networking opportunities. Money is tight, obviously, with student loans, but if you can avail yourself of these conferences throughout the country, it will put you in the best position possible to kind of lean on industry professionals to get their insight and hopefully create some opportunities for gainful employment.
Great. And just so you guys know, I'll make sure that at the bottom of the video that you will have contact information for these organizations that James just mentioned in this video. Now, you brought up something pertaining to the AT&T Stadium there in Dallas and the Command Center. You worked in the Barclays Center, and you worked in the Cedar Park Center here in Cedar Park, Texas, in Austin, the metro Austin area. Obviously, the AT&T Stadium is huge. How did that control center compare with maybe what you saw at the Barclays Center, or maybe even the Cedar Park Center, a smaller venue?
Well, that's some of the advantages that I've had working in a billion-dollar building, the grand opening of the Barclays Center with AEG, but also, you know, working as a security supervisor here in Central Texas at the Cedar Park Center. But I guess it's a comparison and a contrast to a certain degree. But regardless of the amount of technology, it could be a billion-dollar building or it could be something of a smaller stature. At the end of the day, Dr. Rice, if the folks that are sitting at those controls are not properly trained on how to utilize that software, the CC television to obviously scan in and out of the crowds to look for those potential problems before they happen. The software and the training is only good as the folks that know how to utilize that technology properly. And we've seen with the Golden State Warriors, I think they're doing a great job of connecting with their fan base. They use iBeacon technology. Obviously, the 49ers are cutting edge in terms of their technology on the West Coast market. Technology is a huge component of the overall fan experience. And I think, obviously, from a security standpoint, the ability to get folks behind the controls, to look at the cameras. There may be certain recordings that could eventually be turned over to law enforcement for prosecutorial purposes. It's real important that folks understand how to utilize that technology. And again, it goes back to social media and doing your research about certain performers before they actually come to your venue. Studying smart deployment is important, but doing your homework as a security director or manager is kind of part and parcel to putting you in the best position possible to operate effectively as a security leader. And I think that's something that we strive to do on a daily basis.
And you, again, bringing up the social media again, something occurred to me. I would assume that people in your industry will use social media to check on any possible danger situations where some person that might be a little bit ideological or crazy might post something on Twitter saying, I'm going to blow up the Cedar Park Center, or I'm going to... I mean, in your experience, have you... In your experience, as well as talking with other people, have you seen that used for that same purpose that I'm talking about? Or?
I have. Anyone who's an effective security leader will kind of look at, one of the things that I learned in 21 years in law enforcement is everything is the real thing until proven otherwise.
Sure.
So, taking the time to do your research and knowing what the vibe is of the performer, the crowd, the demographics that are going to be attracted to your venue. They talk about this trusted duty of care. So if folks are paying good money to come to your venue, it's incumbent upon you as a security leader to take the initiatives to be forward-thinking and make sure that those folks are safe and protected and enjoy that experience for the 2.5 to 3 hours that they're inside your stadium or arena
sure.
venue. So that trusted duty of care is a prevailing theme throughout all the conferences that I've been to, and I think... because of what happened in Boston, because of what happened in L.A., because of what happened in the bathroom situation with the 49ers, those kind of scenarios should never happen again. We have too much training, we have too much expertise, we have too many people committed to the cause. Really, the challenge is making sure that everyone starts to speak the same language. And I've reached out to many industry professionals around the country, and their first reaction about security is, it's not my job. Well, in fact, it's all of our jobs to make sure that we understand effectively what each other's roles are. And I'm a very strong proponent of cross-training, guest services, understanding what security's role is and vice versa. Because in the event of any type of adverse situation, being inside a venue and knowing what to do in times of crisis puts everybody in the best position possible to be safe. So that can be done in terms of computer simulations, evacuation drills, and the list goes on and on and on. But it's key to have that good spirit and effective communications with the first responders. And that's something where I feel that I fit in because I've been there and done that. I've been on those domestic incident calls. I've responded with EMS on certain AD cases. That's my background. That's what I have to offer. But also, having the experience of working in venues gives me the ability to say to law enforcement, I'm retired law enforcement. Let's start speaking the same language in interest of public safety. And on your end, the higher education side, my interest with pursuing my doctorate gives me the ability to kind of stand between the three worlds and say, hey, I'm here to help and offer my skills and services. Let's work together.
Absolutely. One question I have, the world you're in is a world, many times people would say, well, you can be very, very prepared, but even the most amazing situation could happen, perfect storm situation where something, could take place in a venue. They're like, wow, we weren't prepared for that. One incident such as that would be the 1979 Chicago White Sox game for Disco Demolition, and I'll make sure I share that link with the YouTube on that very fascinating thing. Tell me a little bit about kind of when something goes wrong, and you've prepared everything already, and you're ready to go, but something is just completely outside of your wheelhouse for your preparation. How do you handle that in your world?
Well, it's a great question. We look what happened with the NBA Finals last year between the Heat and the Spurs.
Right.
A home game in San Antonio with the air conditioning went out. If you looked around the arena, you saw a lot of the folks were waving fans back and forth. But as a security professional, one of the first things that went through my mind is anyone going to pass out? questions of possible dehydration, or people starting to think that maybe this is a terrorist situation. Right. What's happening in the command centers? What are the communications that are going on between the command center and the first responders and EMS? Thankfully, that situation, you know, worked out for the best, but, you know, we saw LeBron James, one of the preeminent athletes in the world. His body was physically breaking down in front of all of us because of the intense heat. Well, if that could happen to somebody like LeBron James, how would you handle the asthmatic in Section 101 who has difficulty breathing? That's one scenario. You look at what happened in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago when half the lights in the stadium went out.
Yeah.
You know, kudos to the NFL for keeping the players on the field. But one of the first thoughts that went through my mind is, you know, is this something more than what it is?
Right.
You know, is this possibly a terrorist type situation? So these are the things that go on. And to answer your question best, you can never really fully be prepared 100%, but if you can do everything within your power to continually train and just making sure everybody is doing everything within their power to be the best professional that I can be, I think it places us in a position of strength. And I always talk about, you know, how knowledge gives us power. And the more knowledgeable we are about interacting with each other and communicating, the more knowledgeable we are about doing certain drills to make sure that we're best prepared, again, it puts us in the best position possible to mitigate risk and make people safe.
Okay. Last question. With this being a really new field, I mean, it's not new because security has always been part of sport, I suppose, but it's becoming a field that people are starting to really learn about, and because of people like you and other people in this field, what are some advice you can give the folks out there that are watching this video on how to get into this field and what they should do educationally and otherwise?
Terrific question. Thank you. Throughout many of my presentations, Skype, Google Hangout, in person, I always ask the question, who's interested in security? And maybe two or three hands go up. And I always try to encourage, you know, the sport management majors to kind of look at the scenario that, hey, listen, just get your foot into the arena. You could be selling popcorn, conversion crew, marketing, operations, in my case, security. It doesn't really matter, Dr. Rice, what you're looking to do. Just get into the venue and go from there. You could be interested in broadcasting. Start as a security personnel. Get yourself inside the building. Figure out where your skill set and assets are. And do everything within your power to kind of roll up your sleeves and just learn. And that's really what I've done throughout my 24-plus years in this industry. And what I continue to do on a daily basis. And I think social media is important. I think two groups that I've created here is Sports Security Professionals, with nearly 1,000 members. That's a private group. I've personally sent out those invitations. And that's from sport management majors all the way up to folks like yourself with the highest levels of education in the industry. Central Texas Sports and Entertainment Network is another group here that I've created. So I think that the marketing side and the security side are starting to kind of speak the same language and understand that we're all here for the same reasons, and we're doing everything that we can in the interest of public safety. Make people, you know, we don't want to be excessively overbearing, but at the same time, we don't want to let our guards down. You know, we want to make sure people adhere to the code of conduct and also, you know, see something, say something, work with us to share information to put everybody's best interests at heart.
Okay, and you know, if it's okay with you, I'm going to share your contact information. I mean, do you feel comfortable being someone that can answer questions to the folks out there that are watching?
I would encourage you to do that, Dr. Rice. And really, what that does for me, quite honestly, is it kind of re-energizes my thought process, and it makes me kind of go back to the drawing board. Because every time somebody asks me a question, if I don't know the answer, I'll be truthful and say, I don't know the answer, but I'll find out somebody that does.
Right.
And that also gives me the ability to conduct more research and figure out ways to come up with the best possible answer to a particular problem. But we're very much alike. I mean, as an investigator, I used to ask what if a lot. And as a researcher, we're continuously looking for more than one way to kind of come to a solution. And I think that's what makes us well-rounded. It makes us efficient, it makes us effective in our goals on a daily basis. So please, by all means, the more questions, the better, because if I don't know the answer, I'll reach out to somebody in the industry that does, and I'll share that information. And I think that's the key, is sharing information, imparting knowledge in the interest of public safety.
Wonderful. All right. Well, thanks, James, for being part of today's video. This is James DeMayo, based in Cedar Park, Texas. If you have questions of James, please take a look underneath the video there. In the description, you'll find his contact information. You'll also find the contact information for all of the other organizations that James mentioned earlier. And if you have questions of me, don't hesitate to reach out to me as well. I look forward to seeing you in the next sports marketing video. Again, thanks a lot, James.
Thank you, Dr. Rice. Pleasure.
Thank you, sir.